Joshua at this stage was 110. Probably by the time he's speaking these words, he's stooped over, gray hair, his voice is crackling. Shortly after this, he was to pass away.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Jobe, and the program that you're listening to is called Straight Talk. I'm a pastor in the city of Chicago. I've been pastoring for quite a few years in a church called New Life Community Church. We're a multi-site church that meets at locations in and around the city of Chicago. I have a deep burden to see this city transformed and each neighborhood experiencing the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. And it's my joy and privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to thousands of people, not only on Sundays, but also via the airwaves in the Chicagoland area. So many of you have been so supportive, so encouraging. I know some of you stay up late at night after your bedtime just to listen to this program. Some of you have told me that, and I know that. And I'm sure that I put some of you to sleep with this program. And if that helps you go to sleep, well, hey, God bless you and keep listening. But I just want to encourage you to pray for the city of Chicago and the outlying suburbs that we refer to as Chicagoland. I believe that Chicago is a pivotal city in the course of this nation. With almost 10 million people in greater Chicagoland, this has been a center of power and a center of spiritual influence and a center that persuades and influences the rest of the nation. I've been praying for years that God would do something extraordinary in this great city of ours. One of the things that God is doing is bringing together men and women that have a vision for church planting in the city of Chicago. I just came together with a group of men recently that are believing God to see literally hundreds of churches, 400 churches planted in the next few years throughout the city of Chicago and surrounding neighborhoods. These church plants will be from different groups and different denominations, but Christian people bringing the gospel witness to neighborhoods. So would you pray that God would open up doors all over the city of Chicago? Would you pray that churches would be planted, that the existing churches would be strengthened, and that God would move in this city so that we would not be known as a city of violence, but that we would be known as a city where God has moved and is moving in incredible ways. Let's get ready for today's message.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Tonight, our edition of Straight Talk Radio is going to be Pastor Mark's current series called Just Do Something, and his text for the program will be in the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk called Just Follow.
I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua, chapter 24. This morning, I want to talk to you about the influence of father leaders. The influence of father leaders. You know, as I talk to you today, I realize that there's fathers at a lot of different stages of life. I remember way back 16 years ago when I had my first child. My daughter Marissa was born. And I will never forget that as soon as she was born, after 20-some hours of labor, not my labor, my wife's labor, bless her, she did all the hard work. After 20-some hours of labor, they said, it's a girl. And we were shocked because we were expecting a boy. It's a girl. I said, it's a girl. And they said, Mr. Jobe, would you like to hold her? And I was like, okay, now tell me how to do this. Because I haven't held a lot of babies here, so I want to make sure I don't squish her or drop her. So the nurse was, you'll do fine. And so I remember she put my little baby daughter in my arms, and I held her for the first time. I was nervous because I wasn't sure I knew how to hold babies the right way. And thus my heavy learning curve of fatherhood began. And just about the time I had the holding baby down, and after a few months, I was holding him on my shoulder this way, that. I was an expert, burping, the whole nine yards. And just about the time you think you have that down, then the baby starts crawling and getting into everything. You got to childproof your medicine cabinets, and my daughter wanted to open everything and get into everything, and we didn't even need a vacuum cleaner because she liked to put everything in her mouth. You leave it on the floor, don't do the vacuum, honey, she'll eat up the Cheerios on the floor. Everything goes in their mouth. And then you start realizing shortly after that that this little beautiful little angelic being that seems like they can do no wrong, within a few months of their existence, you start to realize they do have a sin nature. And no one taught them that. They just naturally have it. And the no and the mine and the arching of the back, and suddenly the terrible twos come in and you realize, whoa, they must have got this from their mother's side. Because, I mean, it kicks in mega doses, and you begin to realize that now you have to discipline and train them, and then they start walking, and then they go to school, and every stage of life for a parent is different. Father has to learn at every stage of life, and even the teenage years. How many of you have teenage sons or daughters? You just raise your hand. Okay, God bless you. God double bless you. I read something that I thought some of the fathers would like, especially if you have teenage daughter, because it was entitled, Five Ways to Intimidate Your Daughter's Date When He Comes to Pick Her Up. Of course, that drew my attention right away, how to intimidate your daughter's date. I thought that some of the fathers would need a few tips there. And so, number five, when this young man comes to pick up your daughter, sprinkle some dust on your daughter before she leaves and explain to him it makes fingerprinting easier. Or number four, let your wife answer the door and invite him to the living room where you're polishing your shotgun, okay? That'll help in a little bit of intimidation there. Or number three, if you want to intimidate your daughter's date, casually show him the pictures of the five former boyfriends on the refrigerator door with their faces crossed out. Then yell up to your daughter, number six is here. That can help. Or if you really want to throw them off, just answer the door in a straight jacket. That may help. I like this one. Number one, as they leave, speak into the walkie-talkie and say, subject is wearing khakis and a blue polo shirt driving a green Ford. And that'll make sure that he's a little bit intimidated. Hey, all joking aside, by the way, men, I really do believe that every teenage daughter needs a man behind her. And every boy that is interested in a teenage daughter needs to know that there's a man behind her. Amen? Yeah. I had a conversation with a boy. I thought it was a nice conversation with a boy at my daughter's high school who was interested in my daughter. And I just kind of had a nice man-to-man conversation with him. My daughter claims that I intimidated him. I didn't think it was intimidating. It was just an upfront conversation of boundaries and what I expect, and that my daughter at that time was not at an age that I allowed her to date. After that pretty intense conversation with that young man that I thought went really well, my daughter said to me afterwards, she said, Dad, boys in my school are afraid to even come near me. They're afraid of me. They don't even want to talk to me because they've heard about you. And I said, I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm kind of glad they've heard about me. I think every boy needs to know that behind a teenage girl is a man. And that behind that girl, there's a man that they're going to have to give account to, because it engenders a new sense of respect when you know there's a man behind that girl. So today I want to turn your attention to Joshua chapter 24. There's a lot of passages in Scripture that I could go to as I talk to you about fatherhood. But this is the passage that really has jumped out to me more than any passage, because it really is the words of a father-grandfather speaking to his children, grandchildren, extended family, and really a nation as a whole. Joshua at this stage was 110. He had lived a long life. Probably by the time he's speaking these words, he's stooped over, gray hair, his voice is crackling. Shortly after this, he was to pass away. But he has some really powerful words as a father leader. And he speaks not only as a leader to the nation, but he speaks as a father of his household and to his extended family. And I love his words. The truth is, men, that most problems in our society, the great majority of the problems of our society, can be directly or indirectly traced to fatherlessness in one way or another. In fact, listen to these stats. You may have heard them before. But kids from fatherless homes or homes where a father was not present or engaged are 5 times more likely to be poor. And they're 10 times more likely to be extremely poor. Kids from fatherless homes are twice as likely to be high school dropouts. Girls are 3 times more likely to be unwed teenage mothers. 90% of runaways come from fatherless homes. 90%. If you go to the streets of Los Angeles in Sunstrip Boulevard, where there's a lot of teenage runaways, and you were to interview 100 girls that have run away from their homes, this stat is telling us that 90 of those girls that you interview will have come from homes in which their father was not present or was intermittently present in their household. If you go down to Cook County Jail or some of the prisons of America, you will discover that 7 out of 10 men in prison come from fatherless homes. That 70% of the men that are in prison right now, if you were sat down and talked to them, did not have a father engaged in their lives, present in their lives, training, mentoring, imparting into their soul and into their spirit. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And that's why I want to encourage you as fathers and stepfathers, because I know some of you are not the biological fathers of your children, but yet you have taken on the role of being a father, and you have done so with the heart of the father, and for that I commend you. I want to encourage you fathers and stepfathers. I believe that you have an incredible, powerful platform of influence on your children and your extended family. And so I want to speak into that today.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Just Follow. It's from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Just Do Something. Stay tuned, and I'll tell you how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as information about Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. He's in the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Just Follow.
I believe there's a lot of men that underestimate their power of influence. There's a lot of men that don't realize the impact that they have in their family. And so you sort of go in neutral because you think that your efforts make little difference. But I'm here to disagree with that and assure you that you have powerful influence on your children and your grandchildren, on your extended family, and generations to come. And so I'm challenging you to step up to the plate that God has called you to at this moment in time through the words of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Today I want you to understand, men, I want to speak into your lives as fathers and grandfathers. And I want to talk to you today about what are several things, several important things that father leaders do. These are several important things that father leaders do from the story of Joshua. If you read verses 1 through 12, through 13, which I don't have time to do right now, You realize that it says in verse 1 that Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And then Joshua said to the people, "This is what the Lord, God of Israel, says. A long ago, your fathers, included Terah and the father Abraham and Noah, lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods." What he does is he spends some time talking to them about their history. And Joshua spends almost the entire first portion of chapter 24 talking about the story, their history, where they've come from, who their forefathers were, where they were born, and how God's hand has been involved in their entire history throughout these generations. Can I tell you something this afternoon? Father leaders, listen to me. It is your responsibility to tell the story of your family to your children and to their grandchildren. It is your responsibility to understand your family's story, to learn about your family's story, to realize and acknowledge that God has been involved in your family's destiny since the beginning. And that God has orchestrated things in your family and brought about open doors and connected the dots. And your family needs to understand and see the story told from your perspective, because you are the one to point to God and to say, God has been involved in our family's history down through the years. Everybody loves a good story, right? And there's no more important story than your story. And your family's story, and your grandfather's story, and your great-grandfather's story. I love to tell my kids stories of their heritage, because I want them to understand. I want them to pass it on to their kids. And I love to tell them about the God stories behind the stories. You can read a birth certificate, and a birth certificate will tell you the date someone was born, the mother and the father, and the place that they were born in. But a birth certificate cannot tell you the story behind the story. Only a parent can. Only a grandparent can. They can tell you how this child was born, what the circumstances were, what God was doing in the family, how God brought two people together and brought them into this family. Hey, there's a God story brewing behind every face that is here. In your family name, there are God stories. And they're not all success stories. Sometimes they're tragic stories. But God meets us even in our tragedy. And what your kids need to know and your grandkids need to know is that God has been involved in this story down through the years. And you need to point to God and remind them, God did this. God was involved. God orchestrated this. They need to know the God side of your story. And that's exactly what Joshua does with the people of Israel. He reminds them of what God had done, how he showed up, what he did, the covenants that he made. Over the years, I've been telling my kids the stories of our family, both my wife's side of the family and my side of the family, because I want them one day to grow up and tell their kids, "Grandpa used to tell us." Now, sometimes I've told them the story so much, they said, "Dad, we've heard that story." And you know what? That's okay, because I want them to hear it and hear it again, because I want them to remember this story. How many of you know good things are worth repeating? Hello? Good things are worth repeating. I've told them the story of how their mother and I met. I want them to know that. I've told them the story of God's hand in our lives. In fact, I've told them how, years ago, at the age of 18, my father and my mother, who did not know each other at the time, attended the same youth rally called Youth for Christ Rally. And at that same meeting, they both As the preacher or youth leader gave the call, they both gave their life to Jesus and came forward and said, yes, I'll give my life to him. But they didn't know each other at the time and only found out years later that it was at the same meeting with hundreds of young people that they gave their life to Christ, even though they didn't know each other. Wow. Coincidence? No, God. You see, my father had not didn't grow up as a religious person, although my grandmother was a woman of much faith. But my father didn't have much care for church, and he'd grown up. My grandfather was a foreman at the steel mills in northern Indiana. He had migrated from southern Illinois during the Great Depression looking for work up north, and had found himself working at the steel mills. And steel mills is a tough place to work, and he was a tough foreman, chain smoker, tried to do things that were right and raise their kids the right way. But my grandmother was a woman of prayer and a woman of faith. And she had prayed for years that my father would turn his life over to God. And my father loved two things. He loved to have fun and he loved cars. He drag raced, he was kind of a brawler, got into a lot of trouble when he was young, but he had very little to do with God. But because of the prayers of my mother, at the age of 18, he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and his conversion was pretty radical. In fact, after he gave his life to Christ, he had to give up two major things in his life. One was his girlfriend. His girlfriend wasn't too excited about the fact that now he wanted to follow Christ and and it was turning his life around. She liked the old Bob, and she couldn't get used to this new Bob that talked about Jesus and God and Christ and had a new direction for his life. And so he had to tearfully break up with her. But even more painful than that, as he told the story, he had to give up his 1950-something Ford car that he just loved. I mean, he had put a lot of work into it. And he decided that he wanted to serve God and go to college and prepare to go to the Amazons and be a missionary. And in order to do so, he had to sell his car. He went to New York to Bible college. My mother at the time was going to nursing college. They met there. They married. My father said, I want to go to the Amazon jungles. Never been out of the country, never knew another language, but said, I want to go to the Amazon jungles to tell people about Jesus Christ. I want to go to some tough places. The mission board that he joined up with, so they left the country when I was 6 months old to learn a language, and my brother was just a little bit older than me. And they left. They ended up in Chile because the mission that they were with had no place in the Amazon jungles. But they ended up in Chile, and my dad would literally ride horseback, a horse by the name of Trompo. He would ride this horse called Trompo into the hills of Chile to have Bible studies in little villages that were inaccessible by cars, in little thatch-roofed huts that had dirt floors, no running water, no electricity, and he would do Bible studies on his horse in those areas. Man, what a story. I love it. And we grew up there. My sister was born in Valparaíso, Chile. And then a few years later, they wanted to go to a place that was more unreached, and so they decided to go to Spain. When I was 6 years old, my parents pulled the family up. We traveled all the way to Spain and went to a town that had no evangelical churches. And we met, my first recollection of where we met was literally a horse stable that they had whitewashed. And we held services in a horse stable. And we baptized people in the river down the road. That's where I was baptized at. And when people came to Christ, some of them were kicked out of their homes. It was a tough environment. It was still under Franco, who was a fascist dictator. My father was taken into the secret police often and interrogated on various occasions because they suspected subversive activity, CIA activity. He was just a missionary. But they interviewed him. And that's part of their story. And there's miracle after miracle that we experienced in the hand of God as we went from place to place, and they started these works, left their country, went to another place that they did not know. My mother at this time still lives in northern Spain and is still involved in missions work, and she's 73 years old.
We hope that you enjoyed tonight's edition of Straight Talk. Our current message is called Just Follow, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Just Do Something. Please do join us again tomorrow for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for us on Straight Talk tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Please do join us again tomorrow as Pastor Mark continues his message called Just Follow. Have a great night, and God bless.